Well, let's take our Bibles and look together in Matthew chapter 13. My text is from verse 1 down to verse
17.
And I want to speak with you about the parable of the sower and the seed. Here we read in verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Verse 2, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. In verse 3, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8, but other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then verse 9, the Lord sums this all up with, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verse 17, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So this is the portion I want us to consider today concerning the parable of the sower and the seed. This is a parable that you can well understand because you farm the fields, and so you can understand what it is to take the seed and to sow it. You don't determine the outcome. That depends on the Lord. But nonetheless, you sow the seed. And really, the sower here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he came to this earth, he was sowing the seed. He was preaching the gospel concerning himself. And yet it was already foretold, even as he said in Isaiah, that the people would hear but would not understand. They would see but they would not see. They would not perceive.
Verse 9,
There are those today that think that when the Lord Jesus came into the world, he was trying to save everybody. But here, this parable tells us just the opposite. The Lord came to save a particular people, and the rest would be blinded. And that's what he said to the disciples when they asked him why he spoke in parables. Verse 11 gives us the key. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So even here in this parable that he was giving of the sower and the seed, it was not purposed that all the seed should bring forth fruit. In fact, in the parable, out of four different illustrations that are given, three of them did not produce fruit, lasting fruit. Does it mean then that the farmer failed? No. The seed produced where it was supposed to produce. A good parallel to this would be over in John chapter 1. It says in verse 11 concerning Christ, and again, he's the sower. He's the one that's come and sowing the seed, but it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Does that mean then that Christ coming into the world and sowing the seed of his word and his life, that somehow he failed? God forbid. Even as our Lord quoted Isaiah, where it was told him, hearing, ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing, ye shall see and not perceive. It was purposed that it be that way. So when it says here in John 1:11, his own received him not, it's talking about the Jewish nation that did not, for the most part, receive him. But God purposed it that way. But now when we read on in verse 12, we see that there are those that God purposed should hear. Notice it says, but as many as received him. How did they receive him? Well, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What that scripture is saying is that, yes, there were those that did believe on him and received him, but they did so because he gave them power to become the sons of God. But lest anybody should think that somehow that power is within themselves, we read in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When it says here, not of blood, that means that a person does not come into the knowledge of Christ simply because their parents may be the Lord's. It's not passed on through blood. Also it says, nor of the will of the flesh. That means that it's not man by his will that can determine whether he's going to know the Lord or not. It's not by the will of the flesh. There are many false preachers today telling people that if they will just believe, then they can be saved. But it's not of the will of the flesh. And then the third thing we read is it's not of the will of man. When you read that, you think, well, what's the difference between the will of the flesh and the will of man? It's referring there to others who may want you to be saved and may go about attempting, whether through their prayers or their testimonies or other means, to get you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is, it's not of the will of man. And then it concludes with, but of God. If any are the Lord's, it's of God. If any hear, it's of God. So coming back here to my text in Matthew 13, with that in mind, we see now what this parable is designed to teach. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ actually sowing the seed. He's not physically taking seed and sowing it, but he is sowing the seed through his preaching.
Jesus
Here we actually see him teaching from a boat. He went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And it says there the multitudes in verse 2 were gathered unto him so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. See, this is what a sower does. He goes out into the field. The field is the world. And now he sits, and from this boat, he is preaching the gospel. You can imagine the self-righteous Pharisees criticizing him, saying, well, you can't do that. Teaching belongs in the synagogue or in some other appropriate place. They were criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ for going out and preaching to the people, and yet they would not receive him into their synagogues. And here's a good lesson even for us today, that when the doors of men's synagogues are closed against the preaching of Christ, then we take to the open air and we teach people where the Lord gathers them, whether it's in the streets or on the roads or by the lakeside or in our homes. But again, as we're going to see in this parable, as the seed was sown, it wasn't for everybody. In verse 2 it says, a whole multitude stood on the shore to hear him, and yet not every one of them was to be drawn to him. Yes, many times we even become excited whenever a great number of people show up to hear the gospel of Christ preached, but let's not presume that everybody that is there is necessarily the Lord's. And that's certainly why he gave this parable of the sower and the seed, where some of the seed fell by the wayside, and some the thorns sprung up and choked it out, others the sun, when it rose, scorched it. That's going to be. Not everybody's going to hear. And so in verse 3, we see then that this is how our Lord taught with parables. It gives us an idea, too, of how it is we're to preach. The word parable that's used here means to put alongside something else. So a parable is a story that is put alongside the truth that is intended to teach. Some have described parables as being earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. But in a parable, there generally is one main point of truth that is being expressed. You see, there's a parable that's used in Scripture, but then you also have what's called an allegory. A parable typically has one main truth that is being communicated. But an allegory is a story in which there are different possible teachings through that story. This is a danger for us as preachers sometimes, to try to go into a parable such as this and try to bring out a meaning for every different detail that there is. That's not the purpose of the parable. The Lord Himself tells us the point of this particular parable, and that is, in hearing, not all will hear, and in seeing, not all will perceive. Even a farmer knows that, going out into the field. He sows the field, but he acknowledges and knows that it's not every seed that's going to produce fruit. He anticipates that there's going to be some that will not. Can you say of a farmer, because of that then, that he's a failure? No. He sowed the seed and God determined the outcome. So here in verses 3 through 9, we have a simple story. Let's keep it simple, because that's what a parable is. It's designed to teach in simplicity. Now, it's a simple story, but that doesn't mean that people are going to understand the spiritual significance, because it takes the Spirit to teach. Here's a reminder even to us as preachers that we can make the gospel just as simple as possible, and yet men and women will not understand the gospel or believe it unless the Spirit is pleased to give ears to hear. So here this simple story begins in verse 3 with, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." When our Lord used that word, "behold," it was to catch the attention of the hearers, that they might listen to what he was about to say. Here he is out in the open air and has pushed back and teaching from a boat. And I'm sure the crowds may well have been still talking amongst themselves. And so now the Lord gets their attention. "Behold." This is why when we gather people, or people are gathered, that we get their attention, that it be in quietness, that they get quiet to listen. God is not a God of disorder where you have all kinds of activity going on. No, there's one that speaks and the others need to hear. And our Lord begins here with a story that those of the day could understand because they were farmers. Now, typically, we plow the ground and then we sow the seed today, but here they would literally scatter the seed first and then they would plow it into the ground. That's just how they did it. So again, the Lord is using himself here as an example of the sower, where he's come to scatter the seed of his person and of his work, and then that by his Spirit, that seed would be plowed into the ground. The Lord is really describing here his own ministry. He did not anticipate, nor was it his purpose, that everybody would hear and believe on him. But he's expressing the four different types of hearts, if you will, of soil in which the seed is sown.
Amen.
The first type of soil he describes in verse 4, where the seed fell by the wayside. Even there, God has purposed that the seed of Christ should fall in places by the wayside where it will never be received. The wayside was the path where people walked, and yet nothing could grow there because the ground was too hard. Here it says that it just laid on the surface and the fowls came and devoured them up. The people never benefited. Yes, we're to go out into the highways and byways and preach the gospel of Christ. And yet, we know that just because it's being preached where people walk does not necessarily mean that it's going to be received. That men will take and trample on that seed, and the birds will come and eat it. This is for our encouragement today, because if it was so with Christ, how much more so even with us, because the servant is not above the master. But the second place in which the seed fell is described in verse 5 as being a stony place. We're talking here about a way of sowing the seed in which the farmer would take and put his hand in the sack and take the seed in his hand and just broadcast it. And that seed, some would fall by the wayside, some would fall on stony ground. You and I know that there's a lot of stony ground wherever you go to plant in a field. And many times some will go through and try to take out the stones, but still the ground is stony by nature. This describes the true nature of our hearts as sinners. It is nothing but stony ground. And it may be, as it says here in verse 5, that some of that seed would spring up, in other words, give an appearance of bringing forth fruit, but because it had no depth to it, then it failed. I liken this to those who come and hear the message of Christ, and yet their hearts are hardened. It may be that certain parts of the message get a hold in their mind and thoughts, but because the heart is hard and hardened, it cannot receive the word. And then the third part that we see here is the thorny ground. Verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Here's a reminder that even in soil that is prepared to receive the seed, yet thorns and tares are going to grow right along with it. We're going to see later, and that'll be next time in verse 22, that this describes where the seed is received, but the thorns, in hearing the word, refers to the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that choke out the word, and therefore it becomes unfruitful. Now, I used to think that each of these three types of soil referred to different types of people, but now I've come to see that everything described here is who I am by nature, that my heart is hardened, that there are thorns that would rise up and choke out the word were it not for God being pleased to sovereignly overrule and bring the seed of Christ home to my heart. But thank God there is that ground, as described here in verse 8, where the seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. This in no way is suggesting that somehow there are hearts that are better than others. Ground does not determine whether it is good or bad. It is ground. So if this is describing good ground, this is ground that God Himself has prepared, and that God Himself has purposed that when the seed is sown, it should bring forth fruit unto Christ. Now, when it says bring forth fruit unto Christ, we're talking about faith that the Spirit of God gives to sinners' hearts whereby they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But God determines the outcome. There may be times where that fruit is, as it says here, 100-fold. In other words, as Paul preached to the Philippian jailer, that he and his household believed, that would be 100-fold.
But
sometimes in preaching, it's only 60-fold. In other words, 60% of those that hear will believe, but 40% won't. And sometimes it's less than that. You notice it keeps going down. Some 30-fold. But the point is, it's not the ground that determines the outcome, but rather the seed. It's where God has purposed that that seed should bear fruit, that there's going to be that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why our Lord concludes the parable in verse 9 with, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Who has ears to hear but those that the Spirit of God Himself gives them ears to hear? So you can see again that the parable was not designed for everybody, but for those that God, according to His grace, would cause to hear. Now, the next time I want to come back to this chapter and see how the Lord Himself explains it to His disciples. That's because they came and asked Him there in verse 10, why did He speak these parables? And then He gives the explanation. And that's in verses 18 to 23 that we'll look at next time. But may the Lord bless the word that we've heard today and be pleased to give us a hearing of Christ.